The sermon for the third Sunday of Advent is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11, verses 2 to 15. The sermon is entitled, Looking to Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? No. John, his proclamation would not be shaken by the wind. His word was steadfast. His word proclaimed the Christ as a forerunner, as he prepared faithfully the way of the Lord. However, in that proclamation of the truth, there he would face opposition to the point of his own imprisonment. As word was going around about the deeds of Christ, John, while in prison, sent his own disciples out, asking them to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Yes, John was human, like any one of us. He had his questions. Some might even say he had his doubts. But nevertheless, Jesus said, and this is the key point, "Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." Just as it was foretold from the prophet Isaiah, as we read this morning from chapter 35, here Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy. It's as if Jesus was saying, "Look no further. Christ has come to the world. There is no need to look at anyone else, because here is your Savior. Look no further." As we are here on the third week of Advent, also known in the liturgical calendar as Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of rejoice, the Sunday of joy, hence the pink candle, which signifies the color of joy. But in the midst of our scripture gospel reading today, many would probably not equate John's circumstances with the word of joy. Because from the looks of it, everything was going downhill. The prospects were bleak. Yet by faith, Jesus gave the report to be sent back. That's right. Look no further. Salvation has come. This is it. In the midst of suffering, this is what John and his disciples needed to hear. Yes, in the midst of suffering, doubt, pain, struggle, strife, confined in prison, look no further, Christ says, even in the midst of that, the Savior has come to the world. And this is the tension of the text. Because in regards to suffering, for John and for all of us, what is the common question that we always hear? If God is so good, as a child of God I am, why is this happening in my life? If God is so gracious and kind, why am I afflicted with this physical suffering, this sickness? If God is so caring and merciful, why are my daily struggles like an anvil on my back? Why, we ask. And soon in the question of why, what happens? Of course, in our fallen nature, doubt infiltrates our hearts and minds. And the day-to-day struggles, the strife, the fears, the uncertainties, the constant worry, soon we too are asking, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Of course, the devil would prefer the latter, right? Looking for another, the devil says, "Go look for it. Flee to another. The doctrines of man, the Words that will itch your itching ears. Trust in your own ways, your own words, your own thoughts. Building the God that you want him to be. But little do we know that as we look for another, there we are looking for another little God. And that's why we gather in the Word of God time and time again. Because as we live in this world, the Word is magnified here right now. Where Jesus is saying, look no further. There must be so many things going on in your life right now. But Jesus saying, even in the midst of that, look no further because this is it. Profound. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Another reminder of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Remember the words of Christ. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Think about that. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Who in the world equates blessing with the poverty of spirit? Who equates blessing with those who are mourning? But don't you see, this is the paradox of our faith. It defies human expectation. It runs against the grain of our own idea of what it should be, especially in the midst of suffering. Because the question is for us is what? How could suffering ever be associated with blessing? Now, John was imprisoned for the truth. He proclaimed the truth as the forerunner of Christ. He did not shy away for the sake of the foolish man. He did not cater like a fickle reed that was shaped by the ever-changing culture. He was not a yes man, but rather he proclaimed the light in the midst of a dark world. The word that they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear, but the call to repentance for the forgiveness of their sins. Yet the cost of his proclamation of staying steadfast in the word was his own life, as we know in the Bible, that would end with his own, that's right, decapitation. Think about that. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. His life would end. All for staking the truth in Christ Jesus. Many would say, wow, what a tragic end. But yet he was blessed. How profound is that? That even in his circumstance, he was truly blessed. You know, our eyes see one thing, my friends. Our eyes, the day-to-day, deep inside your hearts and minds, I know everyone is facing some certain thing in their life, some battle with the flesh, the attacks of the devil, the constant, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen tomorrow? How am I going to fill this cup of, well, let's say that void in my life? The anxiousness, the stresses, the worries, the exhaustion, the weakness. And soon for each and every one of us, just like John, there could be doubt that creeps in. And we start asking the question, why God? Why is this happening to me? Why am I suffering? Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. You know, our fleshly nature, that's what's happening. We're always looking for the next best thing, especially in this, what we call it, waiting room of our faith. That as we wait for what is to come in this life of faith, there at times doubt does creep in, and there the devil is with his megaphone blaring at maximum volume saying, look here, God does not help you. Look at your suffering. If God is so great, why are you in this circumstance? And there he says, go to this little God, go to this little idol. and there you will find your remedy. Flee to your sin. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? That's a question for you all today. What are you looking for today? What are you looking for? Are you looking for a bread king God? What are you looking for? Are you looking to the world to somehow appease your life? Maybe it's the material. Maybe it's your status. Maybe it's the comforts of this temporal life. Is that where your peace is? What are you looking for? In this time of Advent, that is the question as we prepare and dwell upon why our Lord needed to come to this world. It's time to see everything for what it is. Because I know, especially in the midst of suffering, how our nature is to quickly compress that panic button and say, yes, I need to find an answer. Well, I need to look in the world. I need to trust in the flesh. I need everything but the Word. And thus we repent, just as we confess our sins this morning. But just as we confess our sins this morning, our Lord has given us the assurance that there is no need to look any further. Because your mercy is here in Christ. Take heart. Take comfort. Because in the midst of all things that you may be going through right now, the things that are deep in your hearts and minds, the things that are very difficult in your life, even the things that are difficult to address out loud, here you are in the Word that points you to Christ, the one who was lifted high upon the cross for each and every one of you. Jesus on the cross, think about that. How is that the true king, the world says? They would scoff at him. Weak, they thought he was. True king, no way. After all, their expectation of any king would be what? One who would ride on a donkey straight to his own death? No way. One who would be betrayed by the hands of men? Is this a true king? No way. One who would wear the crown of thorns upon the cross, bloodied he would be? No way. But this is how God operates. Jesus faithfully fulfills the Father's will. See, in our suffering, there we look to the suffering of Christ. See, that's the true blessing. That in the midst of our own brokenness, there we see Christ, the advent of our King. That yes, the circumstances at time are overwhelming, but yet at the same time, your faith is the one you look to, the one you trust, and that is Christ who crushes the head of Satan, the one who bears your sin upon the cross. How radical this is. So radical because it is for you. The Lamb of God who is slain upon the cross. The eye test says what? Jesus lost. Jesus is defeated. But yet your faith sees another, and that is Jesus is victor. Jesus has won and purchased each and every one of you by his blood on that very cross. And that is why we look no further, because Christ, his suffering is for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. You look no further because you know Christ has answered for you. Eternal death, eternal condemnation, your eternal separation from God. God has reconciled you by his very work, turning everything upside down. This is the word that you need to hear in this dark world. It is the light of Christ, the one you look to, the author and perfecter of your faith, who defeated the monster of death by his resurrection. This is the word that you need to hear, because by the light of what is to come and what Jesus won in his empty tomb is your triumph. That in the midst of suffering, even then, you still are truly the blessed ones. Do you believe that? But Pastor, I don't know. You don't know what's going on in my life. There's so many difficult things to bear at this moment. I get it. I do. But the Word tells us today, there is Christ for you. So be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord, as we see in the book of James. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Being patient about it, you also be patient. Establish your hearts for the coming of the Lord. Yes, be patient. Be steadfast. Be firm. Because your faith is Christ. In this life, suffering there is. And I can't guarantee that there won't be suffering in your life. But that's okay. Because through it all, there is Christ who suffered for you. Pink. Gaudete Sunday. Rejoice. Joy. This is yours. The word, the sacrament, this is your joy. This is the one who was and is to come. This is the one you look to, and that is Christ for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. Joy. Full. Cup overflows. That's you. All the days of your life. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sunday sermon from Faith Lutheran Church in Moore Park, California. For more information, visit us on the web at faithmoorpark.com.